First, according to the Wisconsin Health Department website today, 87% of Wisconsinites who have tested positive for COVID-19 so far have recovered. But recovery, in public health terms, does not necessarily mean back to normal health and strength for people experiencing the symptoms of the virus. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you tested positive for COVID-19? What has your recovery process been like? What do you wish you'd known to expect? Call in at 800-642-1234. Mark Rickers is a digital producer with To the Best of Our Knowledge. He wrote the piece, Most COVID-19 Patients in Wisconsin Have Recovered. But what does that mean for WisContext? Mark, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
There's a couple different meanings of recovery out there. Could you sort out what different people mean when they say recovered from COVID-19?
Sure. Well, I mean, there's the recovery in the, I guess, statistical sense. The way that the state tracks cases, positive cases, and how those progress. And then there's recovery in the sense that maybe I would think of somebody feeling back to their normal selves pre-COVID.
So in the public health way, it kind of means I can't spread the disease anymore, which is important to measure. Is that right?
Right. I mean, like for public health policy reasons, that's the most important thing to track. But it does mean that when you hear, 80% of our open cases have ended in recovery, it sounds like everyone in that group is feeling a lot better. But really what that a better word for that category would be non-infectious or recovering.
To explain why that's important in the piece, you feature a Milwaukee resident, Adrienne Lathan, who had tested positive for COVID-19 some months back. Can you share her story and her longer road to recovery?
Sure. So Adrienne Lathan was admitted to the hospital with shortness of breath, numbness in her hands and feet, headaches, and just kind of pain all over. She had a really, really hard time in hospital with she was fighting for 6 days and nearly died. She was sent home on oxygen. She was on oxygen for 30 days. Now, at that point, she was probably deemed as a recovery in terms of the statistical number because she wasn't infectious anymore. But, you know, she was at home on oxygen for 30 days, self-isolating, feeling extremely run down, hard to get out of bed, pain. And even, you know, maybe 2 months ago, she was still feeling maybe at half strength.
And that raises a question and you talked to some emergency room people about this, of what does it mean for someone to be recovered enough to send home from the hospital? Or are they bad enough to be admitted in the first place? Can you talk about what is on the minds of people who have to make that potentially life or death decision?
Sure. For an ER doctor, they're really thinking more about triage. So they're thinking about factors like, you know, is somebody going to benefit from hospitalization? You know, if they're somebody like Adrienne, they're going to get admitted right away. But there's plenty of people who, you know, think they have the disease and they might go into an ER and they might seem like they're okay now, but they could crash later. At that point, an ER doctor might even be considering things like, how far away from the hospital do you live? Do you have people living with you? Are you at risk with any? Do you have any other risk factors in your life? And really, it just boils down to, are you going to be able to take care of yourself if this takes a really hard turn for the worse?
We are talking to Mark Rickers from To the Best of Our Knowledge about a piece he wrote for WisContext about recovery from COVID-19 and what it means. So when public health officials use that term recovery, how are they actually measuring it? How do they decide, okay, this person is in this recovered data set?
Sure. So they determine this by one of three criteria. They're either checking to see if a patient is recovered from their fever, cough, respiratory infection, basically if their symptoms have cleared up. Then they're checking to see if they've isolated from others for 10 days since the onset of their symptoms. And if they can't confirm either of those things, they count someone as recovered after 30 days has passed since their positive test. The last one is the kind of the more curious one because it's just difficult. You know, health departments only have so many resources to follow up with people. So maybe they'll call someone and they're still experiencing symptoms, so they're not counted as recovered, but then there's never any other follow-up call just from lack of resources. At some point, officials have to deem that person as likely recovered. And so that's why after 30 days, they assume that they've recovered.
One thing that makes this complicated, Mark, is if I'm reading you right, somebody could be in that recovered category, but even still die because of complications from the original COVID-19 infection. Do I have that right?
That's something I did ask officials about. It is possible. It's very rare. And they tend to revise their numbers when they find that out. The time that would be the most likely to happen would be as a patient who maybe doesn't have health insurance, because after their initial test and initial, triage from an ER doctor or whoever they saw at first, after that, they wouldn't have any follow-up with a general care doctor. You know, they maybe would be afraid to go back to the emergency room.
Now, you shared Adrian Lathan's story from Milwaukee, and it sounds like there's this community almost now of people who have had COVID-19. Sometimes they call themselves, I think, long haulers, people who still feel stuff 3 months in, and it's just not going away. What kind of stories, and do we have data on how many people that is right now?
The data is really only starting to come together just now. Some of these folks are, calling themselves long COVID or the survivor core. And the common element is that because this disease can go on for so long, and because the early narrative around the disease is that it resolved a lot earlier, they're having issues with even having people believe that they're still sick. Another aspect, and this is something Adrian went to, is that, if you're sick for that long and, you probably saw people around you pass away from the disease, you're going to have a fair amount of PTSD and mental trauma to deal with. And so that's something else that those groups are hoping to kind of support each other through.
Yeah. And that reminds me of, again, going back to Adrienne's story, she survived COVID-19. She lost family members to the disease along the way, though. Can you share some of that part of her story?
Yeah. Sadly, her father was actually hospitalized at the same time that she was, and he passed away at the hospital. Fortunately, because she had been released and was no longer infectious, she did get to go to his funeral. That's not the case for some who've lost some to this disease. And so she thought that was a small comfort, but it's still a really, really, really big loss that she's still getting over.
Now, with trying to figure out what recovery means here, Mark, in a lot of ways, it feels like we've been living with COVID-19 forever. It's still really new, right? And it sounds like from reading your reporting on this, there's still some serious unanswered questions about how this disease will affect people long term.
Exactly. There are these common symptoms that are kind of emerging, things like brain fog, fatigue, strange numbness or respiratory symptoms that can go on for months and months. A lot of these are related to the autonomic nervous system, but they can kind of manifest in people all sorts of different ways. Generally, people who were hospitalized tend to have the symptoms for longer. But even people who recovered at home have been having some of these symptoms.
So having done this reporting, I mean, we see these statistics come out from the state every day. You can watch national statistics, things like that. What do you want people to know when they see statistics or an absence thereof of people recovered from COVID-19?
Well, one of the reasons we pursued this story was because we wanted to kind of illustrate that no one data point about this pandemic is really telling you the whole story. You want to keep an eye on how many cases are coming. You want to keep an eye on the state just recently released a metric for checking activity in your county. So you can see, even if recoveries are up and we're seeing more recoveries in a given week, maybe in your county, there's a high amount of cases increasing and there's a much higher likelihood that the disease could be transmitted. It's about kind of learning to look at that data to kind of be more cautious, but not to like dissuade you from or maybe lull yourself into thinking that you don't need to be vigilant about keeping yourself and your family healthy.
Mark, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Mark Rickers is a digital producer with To the Best of Our Knowledge, and he wrote the piece, Most COVID-19 Patients in Wisconsin Have Recovered, But What Does That Mean? He wrote that for WisContext, and you can find that over at wiscontext.org, along with a lot of other great reporting on COVID-19 and how to understand all the different sets of data that keep showing up out there.